good evening, y'all. This is your girl, Miss Gibger. You're tuned into All the Starting Radio's RTS Book Club. And we're going to get this show on the popping as we always do. I appreciate you rocking with your girl today on this Sunday afternoon. So let's get this show into gear with a great gospel song, because you know I start this show always with a great gospel song. And this song right here is Commission. Why is my song not coming up? You know I love me some Commission. This song is called I Am Here.
Tell me.
my seventh commission right there, I am here. Yes, and I wanted to today give you some websites that you as a book lover can go to. So on this website, I found the Book Insider. It's news, tips, and deals for book lovers. So it's the hottest new website all book lovers should know. Book lovers know that you can never have enough books in your collection with the growing popularity of tablets and e-books. It's not easier than ever to get tons of books without having to add any new bookshelves. In addition, there are several new companies that can help you build this collection without having to spend a fortune. These services highlight discounted and free e-books, and most make it free and easy to sign up with little downside, but it's even often hard to cut through the clutter and find the best books for you. That's where BookDub, trusted by over 1.5 million subscribers, come in. Yes, BookDub. So you go to BookDub.com. BookDub's free daily email notifies you about deep discounts on acclaimed and best-selling e-books. You choose the types you'd like to get notified about, with categories ranging from romance to mystery to cookbooks. And BookDub sends great deals in those genres to your inbox. BookDub's editorial team does the work for you by applying a rigorous screening process for every submission. Okay. Then it says, okay, here we go. BookDub was founded in 2012 by a team of book lovers that previously worked in book publishing, book retailing, and online media. The goal is to curate the best deal on amazing books in order to make it super simple for literature lovers to discover great works and authors without breaking the bank. Free and bargain e-books. The service works for all devices, including Kindle, Nook, iPad, Google Play, Kobo, and others. All books featured are either free or dramatically discounted, sometimes as much as 90% off their original price. For example, BookBub recently featured The Boys in the Suitcase, $1.99, a New York Times bestseller crime thriller, Undeniable Rogue, free, a Joyce romance by a New York Times bestselling author, Millet's Door, $2.99, a national bestselling true story by Ted Carasote. Other categories include bestsellers, romance, mystery, thrillers, sci-fi, historical, biography, cooking, and religious reads, to name a few. Curated just for you. A team of experts make sure that BookBub only features great deals on quality books that you will love, from both top-tier publishers and critically acclaimed independent authors. In fact, over 50% of the submissions they get on a daily basis are rejected, leaving only the best of the best. BookBub lets you customize which genres of books you like, so your inbox doesn't get clogged with unwanted deals. How they do it? Many people wonder how BookBub is able to offer such a great deal on e-books, and the premise is simple. Publishers and authors want to reach their active audience of book lovers. There are many reasons to give an e-book away for free or at a large discount, such as getting readers hooked on the first book in a series, drumming up interest for a new release, and building a following for a new author. Conclusion: if you want to find great e-books at great prices, BookBub is your best option. Becoming a BookBub subscriber is free and easy. Just sign up with your email address and pick your favorite genres. To find out more about the services, go to bookbub.com. Okay, that's one site, which is bookbub.com, that you can go to, and it curates for you the genre. So if you like romance, erotica, sci-fi, mystery, they will curate those genres for you so you get the best out of those genres. Because sometimes they might use another site that suggests a book that you're not interested in wanting to read from that author, because you might have read a book from them and their writing style you didn't like. You understand what I'm saying? So that's another thing. You know, a lot of authors have a writing style most people might not like. It's not technically the genre. It could be the writing style. So this is good that they curate, give you exactly what you want in your email. You pick from those books which ones you really want to read, and that's a good thing for you. And I like that. You know, BookBub, I like that. You know, I like to read romance novels, erotica novels, not really into sci-fi, mystery, thrillers, and all that, but if it's a good book, if it's a known author and I know the story is going to be good, I will read it. Even though it's not in the specific genre I like to read. You know, I don't have nothing against reading other genres. It's just that I have my favorite genres I like to read, which is romance, erotica, and stuff like that, and urban novels, and all stuff like that. So, which that is a good, you know what I'm saying? And for them to curate books in those genres that I like, put it in my email, and I go get my tablet or my Kindle or my, Sony Reader, you know, and I go in there and I say, you know what, these are the books I want. Oh, this one's free. Let me download it into my Kindle. You know what I'm saying? I like that. So there are other sites out there. So you could try out bookbub.com. And there are other sites. Here's a list of 25 of the best sites for book lovers. Now, let's see. Okay. It's an interesting relationship. Okay. I don't know why this commercial is popping up while I'm reading this page to you. Okay. Here we go. It says right here, it's an interesting relationship that book lovers have with the internet. Most would rather read a physical book than something on an iPad or a Kindle. And even though an Amazon purchase is just 2 or 3 clicks away, dedicated readers would rather take a trip to their local indie bookstore. Yet the literary world occupies a decent-sized space on the web. Readers, writers, publishers, editors, and everybody in between are tweeting, tumbling, blogging, and probably even vining about their favorite books in case the demise of Google Reader through your literary internet browsing into a dark void. Here's a list of 25 books, sites to bookmark. Okay, The Millions, that's what it's called, The Millions, 10 years is a mighty long time in terms of internet life, but that's how long The Millions has been kicking out a steady stream of reviews, essays, and links. That's what has made it the internet's number one literary institution. Okay, that's The Millions. That's one site. It's called The Millions. The second site I have for you is called The Paris Review Daily. While the print version of this highly respected literary journal only comes out a few times a year, its blog has become a daily hub for readers thanks to a great mix of news, roundups, essays, interviews, and more. Okay, that's the Paris Review Daily. Okay, the next one is Page Turner. Yes, the next one is Page Turner. Obviously, being the New Yorker's book blog comes with its perks, and Paige Turner takes full advantage of its captive audience by posting everything from the fantastic monthly podcast to the daily news roundup, great essays like Cassie in Seps and Murder in Deep Summer, and John McChild's piece on why Frank Herbert's Dune Indoors, much like its parent magazine, you can't really go wrong with what Paige Turner publishes. Okay, so that's Paige Turner. That's part of the New Yorker. Okay, the fourth we have for you, just give me a minute. The fourth we have for you, the Los Angeles Review of Books. That's the next one we have for you. Yes. So launched via Tumblr in 2011, the LARB has grown from a proclamation that the West Coast has a literary scene to rival New York's into a full-fledged online literary arts journal that boasts fantastic content and impressive list of editors and contributors that include Jeffrey Nugent-Hines, Janet Fitch, Michael Pollan, Barbara Hernich, whatever how you say her name, E-H-R-E-N-R-E-I-C-H, I don't know how to say her last name, and Grail Marcus, among others. Okay, that's the Los Angeles Book Review. Let's go to number five. And number five is Electric Literature's Recommended Reading. Electric Literature made a huge splash in the literary world upon its inception, fashioning itself as the literary journal for the internet era. When the magazine ceased publication, Halima Marcus and Benjamin Sanders stepped in with an idea so simple, you wonder why nobody thought of it sooner. A writer in an indie press or an editor's picks one story for you each week, and that's it. One great story, like Peter O'Neill's At the Fairmont, which was selected by Anne Betty, or Mary Gaskill, suggesting something Saul Bellow wrote. Short, easy, and totally wonderful. Okay, that's Electric Literature's Recommended Reading. Number six is, this one is called The Owl. It's A-W-L. I guess it's supposed to be like owl. So it's not a literary site in the tradition sense, but the A-W-L always posts something that appeals to book lovers, from great poetry to original essays like How to Be a Monster, Life Lessons from Lord Byron. Okay, that's the owl. I guess you say A-W-L instead of O, you put an A, and I guess it's called the owl. You know, that's site number six out of 25. Yep, that's site number six out of 25. Most of you probably already, if you're a truly avid book reader, book lover, you might know most of these sites already, which is a good thing. But if you don't, now you're getting to learn these sites where you could check out fresh new talent. You know, there's a lot of sites that you can, if you are a writer yourself, that you can post some of your work and get feedback from people, other writers that are new to writing just like you are. So the next one is called Book Riot. The site's tag, All Books Never Boring, is an apt summation of this Sometimes quirky website that tries to make talking about books fun and a little more inclusive to non-snobs than most outlets that discuss literature. Okay, it's called Book Riot. That's number 7 on the list. The number 8 on the list is called The New Inquiry. In the grand tradition of great journals from the Protestant Review to N Plus One, The New Inquiry has made itself part of the bigger conversation by mixing political discussion and pop culture discussion, and a good dose of literary sensibilities. Read the articles and consider becoming a member. That's The New Inquiry. I'm not into political. Okay, this one is called 3AM Magazine, another great site that has been going strong for over a decade. 3AM publishes everything from original flash fiction to criticism and might be the best place on the net to read about modernist and postmodernist literature in the same place. And that was number 9, 3AM Magazine. Rumpus, The Rumpus. This is number 10. The Best of the West. The Rumpus has a slew of great writers both editing and contributing to a site that churns out more than its fair share of great content on a daily basis. Plus, there'll always be the site where many readers first encountered Strayed and her advice-giving guys as Dear Sugar. Okay. Number 11 is The Bat Segundo Show. Ed Champion's terrific podcast has featured plenty of luminaries, including John Updike, Martin Amis, Claire Massoud, and National Book Award winners like Jasmine Ward, but still has time for promising up and comers like Matt Bell, always interesting, easily one of the best literary podcasts. Okay, so we got some literary podcasts. That's The Bat Segundo Show. That was number 11. Number 12 is called Granta. Granta. You do know that one of the most important literary magazines in the entire English language also posts a whole lot of great content on its website, right? Did you read the? Oh, this is some. This might be a Spanish site, because. Okay, did you read the Teju Cole piece they posted recently? Seriously, put this in whatever new reader you're buying and never miss a copy of this always spectacular publication. It's not Spanish. No, it's not Spanish. They show you a picture of it. It's not Spanish. So maybe it was Spanish. you know, Latin people who read, so I thought it was in Spanish. The next one, number 13, is called The American Reader, founded by young literary stars. See, people with these Zoamaka, Maduka, and Jack Mullen. The American Reader is a monthly print journal with a website that publishes fiction, poetry, criticism, and more, along with fascinating daily reprints of letters between literati. Okay, that's good. That is good. So we have number 13. And the reason why I'm giving you these sites is, I'm giving you these sites because you like reading. You understand what I'm saying? And you want to always read something new. You don't want to read nothing. You know, maybe your favorite author is not coming out with a new book yet. So you want to read something. You want to try something new with your reading, because you're always reading the same things, you know? So, that's, you know what I'm saying? So, that's why I'm giving you these sites. So you can go to these sites, check them out, or just Google websites for book lovers, and you would get a bunch of sites pop up in your Google, and you could check them out on your own. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, I discovered a lot of stuff, you know, when Googling, when I'm looking for something, and I Google what I'm looking for, and other stuff pop up, I discover some new stuff. And that's good as a reader or even a writer, because discovering new stuff might help you in your writing. When you're writing a story, you may be stuck on something, and you may see an article and something may catch your eye, you know, and then you want to write, and then you can add that to your story, and it might make it even more juicier, you know. So this next one is called HTML Giant. The Internet Literature Magazine blog of the future is really the site where you never know what you're going to get, from weird and random lists to intelligent critiques of big novels and small alt-lit chapbooks alike. That's HTML Giant. Number 15, Large Hearted Boy. That's the next site. David Gutowski, I can't even say his last name. It's Gutowski, possibly as site, is a source for daily book and music news. But the real joy is the wonderful book notes series, where authors discuss the music that played in the background as they wrote their books. Okay. Roy. Full Stop. A site that puts up a handful of great reviews, as well as breaks, stories, like the one about the time Jonathan Franzen tried to scam some videos for a college library. I'm not getting that, but the site is called Full Stop. Okay, we're at number 17 now, and that site is called Lapham's Quarterly Roundtable. Like one of the Smithsonian's great blogs, except way weirder, the online outpost of Lapham's Quarterly publishes essays on weird historical subjects you probably never heard of, but will nonetheless find fascinating. And Lapham's Quarterly Roundtable. Number 18, Other People. That's what it's called. Other People with Brad Listy. Brad Listy has carved out a nice little space for himself on the literary internet, interviewing everybody from Sam Lipsy, Jamie Attenberg, and George Saunders to Rae Jones, Michelle Orange. If you have a book out, you sort of have to go on Other People. Also, this is like another podcast. This is another podcast. He interviews authors and stuff, like we do here on RTS Book Club. But that's all he does, see? His whole station is built on talking to authors and about works and stuff like that. That's what his whole thing is about. So the next one is called McSweeney's Internet Tendency. All the quirky fun of McSweeney's world boiled down into one website. I still think it's decorative gourd session. Motherfucker, that's what it says. I'm only reading what is shown on the page. Should have won the Nobel, or at the very least a Pulitzer. Also can't go wrong with Teddy Wayne's column of unpopular proverbs. Okay, we're at number 20 now, and after that we got 5 more left. Hello Brow. A hodgepodge of goodreads from pieces on Zine Collection to serializations of long-forgotten literature, Halo Brow is full of delightful daily surprises. Okay, number 21, The Book Rages Podcast, another podcast. So I have three podcasts. This is the third podcast I'm mentioning, but we have three podcasts in the mix. Judging by the title, it should come as no surprise that this podcast is a celebration of books, namely the books read by the hosts who each talk about their chosen title for a few minutes. Need a reading suggestion? This is the best podcast to help you with that. So it's called The Book Rages Podcast. And number 22, Literary Kicks. Levi Asher doesn't update his site as regularly as we'd like, but in between the few posts a week he does put up, take some time to go through his archive of entries that date back to 1994. So this is Literary Kicks, number 22. And number 23 is The Public Domain Review. This not-for-profit finds unusual and interesting out-of-print works that are a mix of intriguing collections as well as essays on topics like the writing of Isaac D. Israeli, a scholar man of letters and father of British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli. Okay, number 24, that's the Public Domain Review. Guernica, a magazine of art and politics that doesn't mess around with great literature, whether it's interviewing James Salter, posting original fiction, or adding to a great poetry section. And last but not least on the list, The Nervous Breakdown. This has got to be a podcast. There's plenty to read on this great lit website, but highlight is the self-interview series in which authors ask themselves the tough questions other interviewers are afraid to pose. Wow, that's interesting. Now, that is interesting, and this site is called The Nervous Breakdown. But that's interesting. Authors interviewing themselves and asking the questions that we as hosts of radio shows or podcasts are afraid to ask them because of fear they're going to say, no, I didn't come on here to ask questions like this. So rather, the host bombarding them with questions they know they do not want to answer, they just do it themselves, interview themselves, and answer the questions. That's interesting, you know. That's very interesting. So, that is very interesting right there. Very interesting. That's, hey, even though somebody already done it, it's still a good idea to use if you're, if you're thinking of doing radio and you want to just talk about books and stuff like that because you love reading books and you love talking about books and you want to interview authors, this could be a good idea. Because you know a lot of authors are busy. You know a lot of authors are busy and, you know, because they have to have a deadline. Got to get this book in by a certain time, so they don't have time to do interviews because they have to work on their book. But this is a good idea. Because I know with me, with doing the Road to Stardom magazine, if an artist is too far for me to see in person to interview, not interviewing them, but for the magazine, what I do as I write up the questions, I email them the questions, have them answer the questions, and I put it in the magazine. because we are not in the same area to where we can meet up face to face and have a discussion about the questions. But I think that's dope. That is what's dope. That, hey, I can meet you face to face. You can't come on my show. I'll give you, you know, as the interviewer, I'll give you the questions. If you can answer these questions for me and then send me back the questions with your answer, this would be great. You know? And, you know, people comply, and they, you know, when I do the magazine, they comply with that. And I like that. Authors interviewing themselves, because there's questions interviewers are afraid to ask, so why not let them do it themselves? Hear it straight from the horse's mouth. But sometimes you could read something. You know, people do articles, write-ups about other, you know, artists and authors and all that stuff. And sometimes it's their words, not what the person who they're supposed to be interviewing's words. It's their words of what the person said. And I'd rather it be from the horse's mouth, so when you read something that I put in the magazine or I've said on the show, it's directly from the horse's mouth. And not something I made up. So let's see how much time we got left. Oh, we got 19 minutes left. And that was the last site. So, you know, I'm keeping it light today. You know, normally, you know, I might read you a story from a book. Or whatever, I'll pick a genre and then pick a book from that genre and read your story. But today I'm keeping it light. But you should check out these, you know, Google it, you know, websites for book lovers, for readers. And a lot of sites are going to come up. You should check them out and see if they suit your interest. A lot of these sites and that I mentioned might not suit your interest. If you're not into political, into reading political stuff, then sites with the political stuff in it you might not be interested in. And there are sites like LiveJournal where people post their stories. You got Bevo. It's another place for us, if you write or if you just want to read some people's stories, is another place you can go to read people's stories. And like I said, if you write, it's another place to showcase your work there, have people read it, and they can leave you comments and tell you what they like about it, what they didn't like about it, and then you can fix what they didn't like. Because sometimes when I read a story, if it doesn't grab me in the beginning, I'm not going to want to continue reading the story, even if it is an author that I know and I like. You know what I'm saying? If it's not grabbing me, I'm not going to be interested in wanting to read it anymore. And that's the problem, you know what I'm saying, that's the problem with doing the show, you know, with reading the book. And I've read a few stories where the story didn't interest me, and it's like, I got a few pages in, and like, I can't read anymore. That was 50 Shades of Grey, and it was another story. I can't remember the other story that was like that. I couldn't get past the first chapter or first few pages of the first chapter to want to continue reading. Because, you know, everybody's reading 50 Shades of Grey, and it's like you keep hearing about it. You keep hearing about it. You keep getting this, hearing this build-up of how good this book is. And you go reading, you're like, okay. And now they got a movie for 50 Shades of Grey. And what's sad about it is that Christian Grey is supposed to be this, you know, sexy billionaire, millionaire, whatever he is. And the guy playing Christian Grey ain't all that hot. You understand what I'm saying? He's not all that hot. Then the girl who's playing Anastasia, I think that's the character's name, the lead female character's name, who's playing her, like, she's supposed to be hot, but she has this nerdiness about her that, yeah, you could say nerdiness, because it's like she has this nerdiness look that, you know, looking at her, you wouldn't be interested in wanting to date her, but once you take all that nerdiness away, she's this gorgeous woman you would want to date. But the girl playing her is not all that. There's no sex appeal coming out of her. Meaning she's not sexy enough, I think, to be playing the role of Anastasia. He's not sexy enough to play the part of Christian Grey, but I think the movie's done, but it'll be coming out next year, I think, or sometime in the fall, I don't know. They show you the trailer for it. And it's like, the love scenes in this book are supposed to be hot and steamy. If like an author like Brenda Jackson wrote it, yeah, that'd be a steamy love scene. Because if you read her books, you can picture everything she writes. You can see that scene in your head, especially the love scenes. You can see it actually happening in your head. Now, if you're a writer who can write like that, I can sit and read your book and get through the whole book. But, you know, they build this, and like Wendy Williams said, the talk show with Wendy Williams, she said the only reason why she read 50 Shades of Grey is because they were talking about it so much. Like, it's this hottest book. And, you know, husbands were getting mad because their wives were reading this book. And I'm like, really? These husbands are mad, really? They don't need to be mad. These husbands don't need to be mad. These husbands do not need to be mad about their women reading 50 Shades of Grey. Any dude dating a woman who's reading 50 Shades of Grey don't need to be mad. It ain't nothing spectacular. And I guess, you know, like, the steamy love scenes in the book, you know, women are thinking like, yeah, I could do this with my husband. I didn't even get to any of the steamy sex scenes. That's how, because the book didn't grab, if the book doesn't grab you, you're not going to continue reading the book, and that's the truth. You're not going to continue reading the book if it doesn't grab you in the beginning. Because I like what I'm not sure all authors do, but some authors do give you a little backstory on the character so you can understand the story itself. And I like that. I like reading like the back cover or the inside cover where it says so and so, like if the main character's name is Keisha, like Keisha Robertson grew up in da da da, and it gives you a little story about her, and then it leads you into prologue or whatever it's called in the book that leads you into the story, so you get an understanding that once you read the story, you're like, yeah, now, okay, I get it now. And for those who waste their money buying 50 Shades of Grey, making this lady, I won't say rich, but putting dough in her pocket for that book. I don't know what publishing company she's with, the lady who wrote 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know what publishing company she's with, but I know when that book did that good, that they was happy. And what's sad is that I haven't heard any more books from this lady, because she did 50 Shades of Grey. Then it's 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker. It was like three, it's three, I think it's three books. It's a trilogy to 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah, it's a trilogy to 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm like, if I can't get through the first book, what makes you think I'm going to be interested in reading the second book if I can't get through the first book? And why would I read, if I got through the first book and then got through the second book, if I really, really like the first book, I'm not going to read the third book. You know what I'm saying? And then the turning, well, all you women out there who love that 50 Shades of Grey, you go ahead and, you go right ahead and go support the movie. And like I always say, when you go see a movie based on the book, you should always read the book first before you go see the movie. But if you go on to see a movie and you never heard of the book, then before you go see that movie, read the book. So you can get a good understanding of what the story is about, because when they do turn books into movies, a lot of stuff gets left out from the book in the movie. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of stuff gets left out, and it throws you off of understanding what this movie is supposed to be about. But if you read the book, you know exactly scene for scene because you read the book. You know, scene for scene, you're going to know because you read the book. So, like, if the movie was called Frankie and Johnny or whatever gets married or something like that, if that's the name of the, and you read the book, you know that in a certain scene, you know exactly what's going to happen if they follow in the book. And even if they did leave a piece out, you still would understand the scene because you read the book. Yep. So, I do appreciate that you tuned into the RTS Book Club. And like I said, today I'm keeping it light. That's why I was telling you, you know, websites to go to. So, you know, if you're looking for books, some websites give you free books, free e-books, and, you know, can read people's poetry, essays, and all that stuff. So, we have 8 minutes left, and I'm going to get into another gospel song right here. And I'm in the mood for one on, oops, space, 101 by Zaccardi. Oh.
Waiting to hear from you. need answers to. I'm just gonna wait on you. I'll sit right here and wait on you. Ooh. Oh, I just need my one-on-one time with you. I might be selfish, but I just can't help it when it comes down to you. In your presence, where I wanna be, there is love there, peace there, so much joy. I love our time alone, just you and me. I need a one-on-one. Just need a one-on-one. I know it's been a long time since you've heard from me, but if you just give me a little time, if you just give me a little time, I promise I won't be long.
I just need
my one-on-one. I know I walked away, but I'm coming back to stay with you. I'm coming back to you, to you. I'm running back to you, to you. I lift my hand to you.
Cardi right there with 101. I hope you like that gospel song right there. You know on the RTS Book Club, we always play gospel music when we do play our music on the show. Yes, we're going to keep this show going. How many minutes we have? Let's see how many minutes we have left. We got 2 minutes left. So it's that time to say goodbye, y'all. To all my listening friends right here listening to the RTS Book Club, I appreciate you. I will be back at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Mixed Variety Sunday, where I give you the best in music as always. So I want you to come join me. You may hear your favorite song. And I need you to go check out the website, which is msgigo.wix.com/ROAD-TO-STARDOM, and check out the blog site, which is roadtostardom.wordpress.com. That's ROADTWOSTARDOM.wordpress.com. Make sure you check out the Facebook fan pages, which is facebook.com/roadtostardomempire, facebook.com/roadtostardomradio. If you haven't clicked like, make sure you click the like while you're checking out the page. Show your support to Road to Stardom. And if you want to friend me on Facebook, all you got to just go to Miss Giggle Road to Stardom on Facebook, and You can friend me and I will friend you back. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's MissGigo_RoadToStardom. That's MissGigo_RoadToStardom. And you can follow me on Twitter at RoadToStardom. That's RoadToStardom. And at MissGigo, which is MissGigo. If you are on Reverb Nation, because I'm sure, well, if you're music, that's normally for music, but still, if you're on Reverb Nation, we'll just start radio on Reverb Nation, because you might write as well as do music. So if you're on Reverb Nation, we'll just start radio on Reverb Nation. All you got to do is put in "we'll just start radio," and the page will come up. You follow the page, follow you back. If you have any suggestions about what you would like for RTS Book Club, if there's something you want on RTS Book Club that I haven't done, you can always hit me up at roadstarting2010@gmail.com. That's roadstarting2010@gmail.com. Or you can call 201-399-2014. That's 201-399-2014 to leave suggestions and stuff for Road to Stardom Radio. So, yes. So I want to say peace, one love. I appreciate you. See you tonight at 11. Bye-bye now.